Everyone knows that America is 50 states and, well, some other stuff. Scattered shards of the Pacific and the Caribbean, the not-quite states. American Samoa, Guam, Puerto Rico, the Northern Mariana Islands, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and their 4 million people are often forgotten, even by most Americans. But they're filled with American flags and U.S. post offices and Little League baseball games. How did these territories come to be part of the United States? What are they like, and why aren't they states? When Doug Mack realized just how little he knew about the territories, he set off on a globe-hopping quest covering more than 30,000 miles to see them all. The result of that is his new book, The Not Quite States of America. Doug Mack has written for Travel and Leisure, National Geographic Traveler, and the San Francisco Chronicle, and it's a pleasure to welcome Doug Mack to the roundtable this morning. Doug, thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. So at what point did you say, you know what, these things are out there, I want to explore?
Yeah, well, I majored in American Studies in college, so I have a degree that says I know a lot about American culture and literature and history. But we never once studied the territories. In fact, and I sort of knew that Puerto Rico existed. I knew that there was a Spanish-American War, and that had to do with some places that were not really the states. But just a couple years ago, my wife collects the state quarters, and she pointed out that there were territory quarters just sort of out of the blue. And I sort of went, wait, that's interesting. And then I forgot about that. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then it just sort of slipped my mind. But then a couple days later, she saw an article about this, the National Park of American Samoa. And it was November. I live in Minneapolis. And we were looking at, you know, these crystal clear waters and beautiful beaches. And she said, remember those quarters? Remember how you thought that was just interesting? I want to, she really wanted to go to American Samoa, and she thought that I should learn more. So I thought, you know what? Yeah, let's learn more. This is really, there's a hole in my education, in my degree in American Studies. So I started learning more, and it turns out there's more than just beaches, although the beaches are quite lovely in all the territories as well. So from there, off I went.
So before we talk about your travels, tell us a little bit about this American idea of territories and the necessity of them.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people forget this, but most of the states were territories once before they became states. We had a process for adding states, even before we had a constitution. There's something called the Northwest Ordinance, which basically laid out this template for how a territory becomes a state, which involves setting up local governments and courts. And it all goes back to this idea, of course, of manifest destiny, that this nation is going to continue to grow. And originally that was spreading west across the continent. Most people are familiar with that and Oregon Trail and that kind of thing. But then we pressed across the sea. And that's something that started pretty early on. The U.S. attempted to purchase the Danish West Indies, which everyone knows now as the U.S. Virgin Islands, originally in the 1860s. That deal fell through, but this was a path that we've been looking at, and it was, we're going to grow, we're going to become a global power, we're going to follow the lead of our European competitors and attain that power by becoming an empire, essentially. So that's where the roots are for this overseas expansion.
So when it came to your travels, where to first?
Right. So I went to the U.S. Virgin Islands first. It seemed somewhat appropriate because that's where Alexander Hamilton grew up. He grew up on the island of St. Croix before heading to the mainland, to the U.S. Of course, back then that was the Danish West Indies. So I started there, and then I went to the territories in the Pacific. So I went to American Samoa, which is in Polynesia in the South Pacific. And then I went to Guam, which is in Micronesia in the far western Pacific, but north of the equator. And then the Northern Mariana Islands, which are very close to Guam. And then I finished up by going to Puerto Rico, which is, of course, the territory that most people know the best and the one that's in the headlines most often.
Typically, how long would you spend to get a real sense of the place?
Yeah, so it depends on the place. You know, in Puerto Rico, I was there for a couple of weeks. I was in each territory for at least a week, though. So not really a whole lot of time. You know, I don't consider myself a true, you know, world-class expert on any one of these territories. Certainly people who live in each place can tell me much more about them than I can. My goal was really to, you know, to talk to people and get a sense of each place, but also then to find the common threads between all the different territories and show their role collectively and individually in the broader American story. So,
And when you look at that broader American story, how much of, obviously with your expertise in that story, that you look then, I assume, to fill in the blanks and find out where these places fit in?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I knew a little bit about the Spanish-American War, for example, and how that was sort of a formative moment in the nation's history. Because obviously we had been sort of a rising power, but that's sort of where we really asserted ourselves. And that marked the end of the Spanish era of dominance and the beginning, really, of ours. And that was in 1898. So, you know, looking at how the territories fit into these things, you know, I realized that the Spanish-American War, while it was very formative, you know, it wasn't our first overseas expansion. American business interests had already essentially violently taken over the sovereign nation of Hawaii in 1893. And even before that, you know, we've been looking at all these different islands. So the Spanish-American War is a part of this whole process of overseas expansion. And then from there, we kept going because after that, we take over American Samoa and and the Northern Marianas and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So, it was really interesting for me to see how these territories have played a role in these different moments in American history, including today, of course.
So one of the things that I found so fascinating about the book, of course, is first, well, your insights into these places and learning about them. But really, the highlight is also to find out what they make of us, what they make of of the mainland of the 50 states.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wanted this book to be more than just a history lesson. You know, the history is sort of endlessly fascinating to me, but the bigger issue is the present day reality and how history impacts that. But also, yeah, it was really fascinating to talk to people in the territories. You know, the U.S. Virgin Islands, for example, gets more than 500 cruise ships every year. So they have a lot of tourists who come in. And I talked to locals who are sort of annoyed by that. You know, it's good for the economy in many ways, but you know, you have people coming from the mainland asking, you know, can I use American dollars here? Well, yeah, it's part of the USA, and and you know, people being surprised that they could watch the CBS TV shows that they liked back home. Well, yeah, it's still the USA, and they could buy a Snickers bar. And there are all these things that people were sort of shocked that there are a lot of familiar trappings of the states, in addition to, you know, their own unique cultures and products and all that stuff.
Do you see it as bemusement or bitterness or just a sort of a beautiful blend of both?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I think if you ask somebody in the territories, it would depend on the particular mood at a particular moment, because it really is all of the above. You know, a lot, probably most people in the territories think of themselves as both American, but then also Puerto Rican or American Samoan, or, you know, they have it is really this beautiful blend. But, you know, there are a lot of frustrations with the federal government, for example, which is not unique to the territories, obviously, but they have particular frustrations. For example, American Samoa, there are plenty of people there who are very annoyed by the fact that they are not citizens by birth. They're U.S. nationals, they're not citizens of anywhere else. But by default, if you're born in American Samoa, you are a U.S. national, but not a U.S. citizen, and your passport says U.S. national. So there are various things that certainly annoy people about the current setup.
I remember a cab driver one time telling me in Puerto Rico, we call all of you gringos, and you always will be to us. And then I didn't quite know how to react, and he said, by the way, we don't mean that as a compliment.
Right. Yeah, there's certainly, especially in Puerto Rico, and there's a lot of that. And you know, even people who want to, who favor statehood, don't necessarily want to interact with a lot of people from the states. In fact, I had one person tell me that specifically, you know, I want to be a state, I want to, but interacting with gringos, I don't know about that. You know, there's many people feel like they've been treated as second class citizens, and I would agree with with that sentiment. They're right, and you know, you can see where some of that frustration comes from. But you know, on a personal level, if you go down from the states to the territories, people are going to be very friendly to you. And you know, I really encourage people to follow my lead and go to these places and, you know, taste the food, meet the people, learn to do the dances. You know, see it for yourself.
Well, and it worked too, because I felt compelled to leave a good tip.
Well, you sort of want to make a good impression, right? Right, absolutely.
You know, the other thing too is that, and this is something that you mentioned earlier in the book about the beaches, but besides that, these are also beautiful places. I mean, absolutely gorgeous places.
Oh, absolutely. Just, I mean, in some cases, literally breathtaking. There was a moment when we were hiking in the mountains in American Samoa, and you know, everywhere you look, it's just these sort of jagged peaks and jungle, and you know, the waves rolling in through these little coves. But there was this one particular place, the village of Batia, on the north side of American Samoa's main island, and just the sort of the arrangement of the village and the jungle and the ocean and everything. You know, I just stopped in my tracks. I was just totally stunned. It's the most beautiful natural sight I've ever seen in my life. And there are many other places in the territories that were similar, maybe not quite at that level, but up there, because, you know, just the natural beauty of these islands is stunning. They are tropical islands, and their reputation is true. They are beautiful.
Do you get a sense of the future?
That is a really hard question to ask, because I thought I had a sense of it. And then, you know, for example, with the political status in these different places, it seemed like the trend was toward more clarity. They were starting to get more rights. But then just last year, there were a couple of Supreme Court cases that sort of set things back a little bit. And made it seem like, actually, no, they don't have as many rights as you thought that they did. And it's really hard to say. And this is a big issue in all the territories, is just this uncertainty in terms of politics, in terms of the economy. You know, they've always been on unsteady ground. And it's hard to see that that's going to change anytime soon, unfortunately.
The name of the book is The Not Quite States of America, Dispatches from the Territories and Other Far-Flung Outposts of the USA. It is published by Norton. Doug Mack, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Best of luck. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is The Not Quite States of America, published by Norton. Doug Mack is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.